This is Audible.
Books on Tape presents The Book of Secrets, Unlocking the Hidden Dimensions of Your Life by Deepak Chopra. Read by Daniel Passer. Introduction. Opening the Book of Secrets. The greatest hunger in life is not for food, money, success, status, security, sex, or even love from the opposite sex. Time and again, people have achieved all of these things and wound up still feeling dissatisfied, indeed, often more dissatisfied than when they began. The deepest hunger in life is a secret that is revealed only when a person is willing to unlock a hidden part of the self. In the ancient traditions of wisdom, this quest has been likened to diving for the most precious pearl in existence, a poetic way of saying that you have to swim far out beyond shallow waters, plunge deep into yourself, and search patiently until the pearl beyond price is found. The pearl is also called essence, the breath of God, the water of life, holy nectar, labels for what we, in our more prosaic scientific age, would simply call transformation. Transformation means radical change of form, the way a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. In human terms, it means turning fear, aggression, doubt, insecurity, hatred, and emptiness into their opposites. Can this really be achieved? One thing we know for certain. The secret hunger that gnaws at people's souls has nothing to do with externals like money, status, and security. It's the inner person who craves meaning in life, the end of suffering, and answers to the riddles of love, death, God, the soul, good, and evil. A life spent on the surface will never answer these questions or satisfy the needs that drive us to ask them. Finding the hidden dimensions in yourself is the only way to fulfill your deepest hunger. After the rise of science, this craving for knowledge should have faded, but it has only grown stronger. There are no new facts to discover about life's hidden dimensions. Nobody needs to peer at more CAT scans of patients undergoing a near-death experience, or take more MRIs of yogis sitting deep in meditation. That phase of experimentation has done its work. We can be assured that wherever consciousness wants to go, the human brain will follow. Our neurons are capable of registering the highest spiritual experiences. In some ways, however, you and I know less about the mystery of life than our ancestors. We live in the age of the higher brain, the cerebral cortex that has grown enormously over the last few millennia, overshadowing the ancient, instinctive lower brain. The cortex is often called the new brain, yet the old brain held sway in humans for millions of years, as it does today in most living things. The old brain can't conjure up ideas or read, but it does possess the power to feel, and above all, to be. It was the old brain that caused our forebears to sense the closeness of a mysterious presence everywhere in nature. That presence, which is found in every particle of creation, suffuses your life, too. You are a book of secrets waiting to be opened, although you probably see yourself in totally different terms. On a given day, you are a worker, a father or mother, husband or wife, a consumer combing the mall stores for something new, an audience member waiting impatiently for the next entertainment. When you are living the truth of one reality, every secret reveals itself without effort or struggle. It comes down to the age-old choice of separation or unity. Do you want to be fragmented, conflicted, torn between the eternal forces of darkness and light? Or do you want to step out of separation into wholeness? You are a creature who acts, thinks, and feels. Spirituality fuses these three into a single reality. Thinking doesn't lord it over feeling. Feeling doesn't stubbornly resist the higher brain. Doing occurs when both thought and feeling say, "This is right." The one reality can be recognized because once you are there, you experience the flow of life without obstacles or resistance. In this flow, you encounter inspiration, love, truth, beauty, and wisdom as natural aspects of existence. The one reality is spirit, and the surface of life is only a disguise with 1,000 masks that keeps us from discovering what is real. 1,000 years ago, such a statement would have met with no argument. Spirit was accepted everywhere as the true source of life. Today we have to look with new eyes at the mystery of existence. For as proud children of science and reason, we have made ourselves the orphans of wisdom. Therefore, this book must work on two fronts. First, it must persuade you that there really is a mystery lying in the hidden dimensions of life. Second, it must inspire you to feel the passion and dedication required to get there. This isn't a project to postpone until you are ready. You have been ready since the day you forgot to keep asking who you are and why you are here. Sadly, most of us keep shutting out thousands of experiences that could make transformation a reality. If it weren't for the enormous effort we put into denial, repression, and doubt, each life would be a constant revelation. Ultimately, you have to believe that your life is worth investigating with total passion and commitment. It took thousands of tiny decisions to keep the Book of Secrets closed, but it takes only a single moment to open it again. I take it literally when the New Testament says, "Ask and you will receive, knock and the door will be opened." It's that simple. You will know every secret about life when you can truly say, "I must know. I can't wait a moment longer." Buddha sitting under the Bodhi tree and Jesus wrestling with demons in the desert are symbolic of the same drama of the soul that you were born to repeat. Never doubt this. You are the most significant being in the world because at the level of the soul you are the world. You don't have to earn the right to know. Your very next thought, feeling, or action can begin to uncover the deepest spiritual wisdom which flows as pure and free as mountain waters in spring. It isn't possible for the self to keep secrets from itself forever, no matter how thoroughly we've been trained to believe otherwise. Secret number one. The mystery of life is real. The life you know is a thin layer of events covering a deeper reality. In the deeper reality, you are a part of every event that is happening now, has ever happened, or ever will happen. In the deeper reality, you know absolutely who you are and what your purpose is. There is no confusion or conflict with any other person on earth. Your purpose in life is to help creation to expand and grow. When you look at yourself, you see only love. The mystery of life isn't any of these things, however. It's how to bring them to the surface. If someone asked me how to prove that there really is a mystery of life, the simplest proof would be just this enormous separation between deep reality and everyday existence. Ever since you and I were born, we've had a constant stream of clues hinting at another world inside ourselves. Haven't you ever fallen into a moment of wonder? Such moments may come in the presence of beautiful music, or at the sight of natural beauty that sends a shiver up your spine. Or you may have looked out of the corner of your eye at something familiar, morning sunlight, a tree swaying in the wind, the face of someone you love as he or she sleeps, knowing in that moment that life was more than it appears to be. Countless clues have come your way, only to be overlooked because they didn't form a clear message. I've met an astonishing number of people whose spiritual beginnings were nothing short of amazing. As children, they may have seen a grandmother's soul leave at the moment of her death, witnessed beings of light surrounding on a birthday, traveled beyond their physical bodies, or come home from school to see a beloved family member standing in the hallway, even though the person had just died in a terrible auto accident. One man told me he was a bubble boy for the first 10 years of his life, journeying in his bubble high over the city and away to unknown lands. Millions of people, this is no exaggeration, but testimony from public polls, have seen themselves bathed in a pearlescent white light at times. Or they heard a voice they knew came from God. Or they had invisible guardians in childhood, secret friends who protected them while they slept. Eventually, it became clear to me that more people have had such experiences, truly secret voyages into a reality separated from this one by a flimsy veil of disbelief, than not. Parting the veil means changing your own perception. This is a personal, totally subjective, yet very real shift. Where would you begin to solve a mystery that is everywhere, yet somehow never forms a whole message? A great sleuth like Sherlock Holmes would start his search from one elementary deduction. Something unknown wants to be known. A mystery that doesn't want to be known will just keep retreating the closer you come to it. The mystery of life doesn't behave that way. Its secrets are revealed immediately if you know where to look. But where is that? The body's wisdom is a good entry point into the hidden dimensions of life. Because although completely invisible, the body's wisdom is undeniably real. A fact that medical researchers began to accept in the mid-1980s. The former view was that the brain's capacity for intelligence was unique. But then signs of intelligence began to be discovered in the immune system, and then in the digestive system. In both these systems, special messenger molecules could be observed circulating through every organ, bringing information to and from the brain, but also functioning on their own. A white cell that can distinguish between invading enemy bacteria and harmless pollen is making an intelligent decision, even though it floats in the bloodstream apart from the brain. 10 years ago, it would have seemed absurd to speak of intestines being intelligent. The lining of the digestive tract was known to possess thousands of nerve endings, but these were just remote outposts of the nervous system, a way for it to keep in touch with the lowly business of extracting nutrition from food. Now it turns out that the intestines are not so lowly after all. Their scattered nerve cells form a finely tuned system for reacting to outside events. An upsetting remark at work, the threat of danger, a death in the family. The stomach's reactions are just as reliable as the brain's thoughts, and just as intricate. Your colon, your liver, and your stomach cells also think, only not in the brain's verbal language. What people had been calling a gut reaction turned out to be a mere hint of the complex intelligence at work in 100,000 billion cells. In a sweeping medical revolution, scientists have stepped into a hidden dimension that no one had ever suspected. Cells have been outthinking us for millions of years. In fact, their wisdom, more ancient than cortical wisdom, could be the best model for the only thing more ancient than they, which is the cosmos. Perhaps the universe has been outthinking us too. No matter where I look, I sense what cosmic wisdom is trying to accomplish. It is much the same as what I myself want to accomplish, to grow, expand, and create. The main difference being that my body is cooperating with the universe better than I manage to. Cells have no problem fully participating in the mystery of life. Theirs is a wisdom of total passion and commitment. So let's see if we can link the qualities of bodily wisdom with the hidden dimensions we want to uncover. The wisdom you are already living. Identifying with the body's intelligence. 1. You have a higher purpose. 2. You are in communion with the whole of life. 3. Your awareness is always open to change. From moment to moment, it senses everything in your environment. 4. You feel acceptance for all others as your equal, without judgment or prejudice. 5. You seize every moment with renewed creativity, not clinging to the old and outworn. 6. Your being is cradled in the rhythms of the universe. You feel safe and nurtured. 7. Your idea of efficiency is to let the flow of life bring you what you need. Force, control, and struggle are not your way. 8. You feel a sense of connection with your source. 9. You are committed to giving as the source of all abundance. 10. You see all change, including birth and death, against the background of immortality. Whatever is unchanging is most real to you. None of these items are spiritual aspirations. They are facts of daily existence at the level of your cells. Higher purpose. Every cell in your body agrees to work for the welfare of the whole. Its individual welfare comes second. If necessary, it will die to protect the body, and often does. The lifetime of any given cell is a fraction of our own lifetime. Skin cells perish by the thousands every hour, as do immune cells, fighting off invading microbes. Selfishness is not an option, even when it comes to a cell's own survival. Communion. A cell keeps in touch with every other cell. Messenger molecules race everywhere to notify the body's farthest outposts of desire or intention, however slight. Withdrawing or refusing to communicate is not an option. Awareness. Cells adapt from moment to moment. They remain flexible in order to respond to immediate situations. Getting caught up in rigid habits is not an option. Acceptance. Cells recognize each other as equally important. Every function in the body is interdependent with every other. Going it alone is not an option. Creativity. Although every cell has a set of unique functions, liver cells, for example, can perform 50 separate tasks. These combine in creative ways. A person can digest food never eaten before, think thoughts never thought before, dance in a way never seen before. Clinging to old behavior is not an option. Being. Cells obey the universal cycle of rest and activity. Although this cycle expresses itself in many ways, such as fluctuating hormone levels, blood pressures, and digestive rhythms, the most obvious expression is sleep. Why we need to sleep remains a medical mystery, yet complete dysfunction develops if we don't enjoy its benefits. In the silence of inactivity, the future of the body is incubating. Being obsessively active or aggressive is not an option. Efficiency. Cells function with the smallest possible expenditure of energy. Typically, a cell stores only 3 seconds of food and oxygen inside its cell wall. It trusts totally on being provided for. Excessive consumption of food, air, or water is not an option. Bonding. Due to their common genetic inheritance, cells know that they are fundamentally the same. The fact that liver cells are different from heart cells and muscle cells are different from brain cells does not negate their common identity, which is unchanging. In the laboratory, a muscle cell can be genetically transformed into a heart cell by going back to their common source. Healthy cells remain tied to their source no matter how many times they divide. For them, being an outcast is not an option. Giving. The primary activity of cells is giving, which maintains the integrity of all other cells. Total commitment to giving makes receiving automatic. It is the other half of a natural cycle. Hoarding is not an option. Immortality. Cells reproduce in order to pass on their knowledge, experience, and talents, withholding nothing from their offspring. This is a kind of practical immortality, submitting to death on the physical plane, but defeating it on the non-physical. The generation gap is not an option. When I look at what my cells have agreed to, isn't it a spiritual pact in every sense of the word? The first quality, following a higher purpose, is the same as the spiritual qualities of surrender and selflessness. Giving is the same as returning to God what is God's. Immortality is the same as a belief in life after death. The labels adopted by the mind are not my body's concern, however. To my body, these qualities are simply the way life works. They are the result of cosmic intelligence expressing itself over billions of years as biology. The mystery of life was patient and careful in allowing its full potential to emerge. Even now, the silent agreement that holds my body together feels like a secret because, to all appearances, this agreement doesn't exist. More than 250 types of cells go about their daily business. The 50 functions that a liver cell performs are totally unique, not overlapping with the tasks of muscle, kidney, heart, or brain cells, yet it would be catastrophic if even one function were compromised. The mystery of life has found a way to express itself perfectly through me. Scan the list of qualities again, and take note of everything marked not an option. Selfishness, refusing to communicate, living like an outcast, overconsumption, obsessive activity, and aggression. If our cells know not to behave in these ways, why do we? Why is greed good for us, and yet spells destruction at the level of our cells, where greed is the basic mistake made by cancer cells? Why do we allow overconsumption to lead to an epidemic of obesity when our cells measure to the molecule how much fuel to consume? The very behavior that would kill our bodies in a day hasn't been renounced by us as people. We are betraying our bodily wisdom, and worse, we are ignoring the model of a perfect spiritual life inside ourselves. This book was not born out of a sense that people are spiritually weak and inadequate. It was born from a moment of crisis in my family that gave me new hope instead. My father died a few years ago when no one expected it. Still vigorous at 81, he had spent that January day watching a new U.S. president being inaugurated. Retired from his long medical practice as a cardiologist, my father still kept a professional hand in, and he had spent that evening discussing medical cases with a circle of his students. My mother, who was sleeping in a separate room because of poor health, didn't hear Krishan go to bed. But after midnight, when she was still unable to sleep, he appeared at her door in his bedclothes, barely a dim outline in the darkness, and said that he was leaving. Immediately, my mother knew what he meant. My father kissed her goodbye and said that he loved her. Then he padded quietly back to his room, where only the night sounds of crickets, tropical birds, and Delhi traffic penetrated. He lay down, called to God 3 times, and died. Our family was swept up in turmoil. My younger brother and I rushed to India from the United States as fast as we could, and within hours, having traditionally dressed my father's body for the funeral and strewn it with marigolds, we carried it downstairs to the wailing of women, mixed with sacred chanting. Not long after that, I was standing over a pile of ashes at the burning ghat by the river, performing the eldest son's duty of smashing the remains of the skull with a stick to symbolically release the earthly bonds to the life my father had led. I couldn't escape the feeling that he had completely and utterly disappeared, this man who had been the most loved person in my life, and the last one I thought of losing so soon. But the fact that he had passed with such clear, calm awareness kept all of us from feeling the deepest pangs of grief. Although I was certain Krishan Chopra was gone in the form of the body and personality I knew, my emotions couldn't rest until I articulated, in every detail possible, what he had become. The mystery was changing him from one state to another, and I realized that the same transformation is happening in myself and in everyone. We are all held together, and we all dissolve according to mystery, nothing else. Instead of investigating the mystery of life as an intimate part of ourselves, we've been acting as if it doesn't exist. Everyone has suffered for this neglect, and more suffering, perhaps on an unheard-of scale, is looming over the horizon. My father departed from a world sunk in the depths of gloom. When the evening news comes on tonight, trouble will be breaking out everywhere, as it always is, and the answers being offered won't be anywhere close to the wisdom of a single cell. Many people lose heart and withdraw from the challenge of so much suffering. Others assume that they must leave where they are and find something they do not yet have, a new relationship, a new job, a new religion, or teacher, before they can feel alive again. Would the cells in your body accept such defeatist logic? If where you are isn't good enough, then love and healing and God will remain forever out of reach. After generations of life spent in chaos, are we ready to let the mystery save us now? Is there any other way? Changing your reality to accommodate the first secret. Each secret will be matched with an exercise to allow you to apply it to yourself. Reading about a secret has an effect at the level of thinking, the level of feeling and the level of doing remain untouched. All three have to merge before you are actually changing your personal reality. The first secret is to let your body's wisdom point the way. Today, write down the 10 qualities of this wisdom mentioned earlier, and for each one, think of a way you could live that quality. Note it down and make this your guide for the day. You can pursue one quality per day, or list them all, and try to follow as many as you can. Don't strain for self-improvement. Don't write from a sense that you are weak or inadequate. The purpose here is to extend your body's comfort zone into behavior and feeling. Let your words express aspirations near your heart that make you feel like your true self. For example, higher purpose. I am here to serve. I am here to inspire. I am here to love. I am here to live my truth. Communion. I will appreciate someone who doesn't know that I feel that way. I will overlook the tension and be friendly to someone who has ignored me. I will express at least one feeling that has made me feel guilty or embarrassed. Awareness. I will spend 10 minutes observing instead of speaking. I will sit quietly by myself just to sense how my body feels. If someone irritates me, I will ask myself what I really feel beneath the anger, and I won't stop paying attention until the anger is gone. Acceptance. I will spend 5 minutes thinking about the best qualities of someone I really dislike. I will read about a group that I consider totally intolerant and try to see the world as they do. I will look in the mirror and describe myself exactly as if I were the perfect mother or father I wish I had had, beginning with the sentence, "How beautiful you are in my eyes." Creativity. I will imagine 5 things I could do that my family would never expect, and then I will do at least one of them. I will outline a novel based on my life. Every incident will be true, but no one would ever guess that I am the hero. I will invent something in my mind that the world desperately needs. Being. I will spend 30 minutes in a peaceful place doing nothing except feeling what it is like to exist. I will lie outstretched on the grass and feel the earth languidly revolving under me. I will take in 3 breaths and let them out as gently as possible. Efficiency. I will let at least 2 things out of my control and see what happens. I will gaze at a rose and reflect on whether I could make it open faster or more beautifully than it already does. Then I will ask if my life has blossomed this efficiently. I will lie in a quiet place by the ocean or with a tape of the sea and breathe in its rhythms. Bonding. When I catch myself looking away from someone, I will remember to look into the person's eyes. I will bestow a loving gaze on someone I have taken for granted. I will express sympathy to someone who needs it, preferably a stranger. Giving. I will buy lunch and give it to someone in need on the street, or I will go to a cafe and eat lunch with the person. I will compliment someone for a quality that I know the individual values in him or herself. I will give my children as much of my undivided time today as they want. Immortality. I will read a scripture about the soul and the promise of life after death. I will write down 5 things I want my life to be remembered for. I will sit and silently experience the gap between breathing in and breathing out, feeling the eternal in the present moment. Exercise number 2. Accident or intelligence? Every secret in this book goes back to the existence of an invisible intelligence that operates beneath the visible surface of life. The mystery of life is an expression not of random accidents, but of one intelligence that exists everywhere. Is such an intelligence believable, or should you continue to believe in random events and chance causation? Read the following unexplained facts, then choose yes or no if you already knew that such mysteries exist. Desert birds living by the Grand Canyon bury thousands of pine nuts in widely scattered locations along the canyon rim. They receive this stored food during the winter, returning precisely to the nuts each one buried and finding them under a deep layer of snow. Yes or no? Salmon born in a small stream that feeds the Columbia River in the Pacific Northwest swim out to sea. After several years spent roaming vast distances of ocean, they return to spawn at the precise place where they were born, never winding up in the wrong stream. Yes or no? Little children from several countries were read to in Japanese. Afterward, they were asked to pick whether they had just heard some nonsense words or a lovely Japanese poem. The children from Japan all got the answer right, but so did significantly more than half the children from other countries who had never listened to a word of Japanese in their lives. Yes or no? Identical twins, hundreds or thousands of miles apart, have immediately sensed the moment when their sibling died in an accident. Yes or no? Fireflies in Indonesia numbering in the millions are able to synchronize their flashes over an area of several square miles. Yes or no? In Africa, certain trees that are being overforaged can signal other trees miles away to increase the tannin in their leaves, a chemical that makes them inedible to foraging animals. The distant trees receive the message and alter their chemistry accordingly. Yes or no? Twins, separated at birth, have met for the first time years later, only to find that they've each married a woman with the same first name in the same year and now have the same number of children. Yes or no? Mother albatrosses returning to a nesting site with food in their beaks immediately locate their chicks among hundreds of thousands of identical offspring on a crowded beach. Yes or no? Once a year at the full moon, several million horseshoe crabs emerge together on one beach to mate. They have answered the same call from depths of the ocean where no light ever penetrates. Yes or no? When air molecules cause your eardrum to quiver no differently from a cymbal being hit with a stick, you hear a voice that you recognize speaking words you understand. Yes or no? On their own, sodium and chlorine are deadly poisons. When they combine as salt, they form the most basic chemical in support of life. Yes or no? To read this sentence, several million neurons in your cerebral cortex had to form an instantaneous pattern that is completely original and never appeared before in your life. Yes or no? There is no grade for this exercise, but keep it at hand until you finish this book. Then return to see if your beliefs have changed enough that you can give an explanation based on the spiritual secrets being discussed.